Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency, and in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES, promo code IFSTORIES10. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 395 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Tanya Bear. Tanya lives in Clackamas, Oregon, and she is a program specialist for her county government. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to have you here today. So, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
Officially, I came to intermittent fasting in July of 2022 when I found you and your books, Delay, Don't Deny, and Fast, Feast, Repeat. Then I listened to your intermittent fasting podcast and the Intermittent Fasting Stories podcast. But actually, at some point, I finally realized that I had stumbled upon eating within a smaller window of time back in December of 2021, actually on December 21st. 2021.
Oh, wow. We're recording this on December 21st. So
exactly.
two years ago today. How did you fall into a window?
Well, that was when I really started realizing that my health was being compromised. And I had just been to the doctor that day. And I got a lot of sobering information about my health. And so that day, I decided I just really need to stop eating after dinner. And I was never really hungry in the mornings. And so I usually wouldn't start eating until 9 or so. So I had this window of between like 9 and 6, about a 9-hour window. I just didn't know
it. So you were loosely doing it. You didn't realize that you are. I think a lot of people, just if they're just left alone to eat how they want, would, you know, not following the advice, you must eat breakfast. I think a lot of people just naturally would fall into that. It's just the, we're told to eat breakfast. We're told to do all these things. So that's really funny. So you started just with your 9-hour window exactly 2 years ago today.
Yeah.
But then in July, you heard about intermittent fasting. How'd you hear about that?
Yeah. So if I could go back a little bit, it's been kind of a wild ride. I've been significantly overweight pretty much my whole life. Actually, I think I weighed 7 pounds when I was born, but I do kind of question that because, my name was misspelled on my birth certificate and I had this baby book that my mom only made about 3 entries in, but on one of them, she wrote my hair color down as green. I think she meant my eyes. So I question the weight, but I think was born a normal weight.
Okay.
And I was number 6 out of 7 children.
Oh, so she was too tired. That's it. Yeah.
So it's probably also why she just fed us whatever was convenient. So I was a child in the 70s and 80s. There were a lot of bologna sandwiches, potato chips, ice cream. I was just having this flashback to fried Spam on Wonder Bread with Velveeta.
We didn't buy, well, I think my mother did buy Spam a few times. I didn't eat it, but fried bologna sandwiches. I did like those.
Yeah.
Did you like fried bologna sandwiches? The bologna would curl up?
I did. They would curl up little cups of grease.
Yeah. I get it.
So that didn't help. And so by the fourth grade, you know, when they line everybody up and you have to get on a scale and they write down your weight on a poster board for everyone to see.
Gosh.
So fourth grade, I was 10 and I weighed 140 pounds.
Wow.
So I was way above average for the class. And I think that the fourth grade has a lot to apologize for.
I agree with that because nobody needs to know all that. That is, I can't imagine how that would feel.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone else in the class was over 100. So they also did the square dancing thing in fourth grade. They made us learn square dancing.
So I remember doing trauma. Square dancing too. Yeah. Fourth grade was just not the year. Not a good year.
It was
lots of long division. I remember the trauma of long division. If you, I was not, I don't know. It did not come to me easily. But anyway, so fourth grade, bless it.
Yeah, I did learn. I learned to say all 50 states in alphabetical order in fourth grade. Not that that's super helpful, but
that's so funny. The things that we were teaching kids to do, but definitely, I certainly hope that the weighing children and saying the weight so anyone else knows it are definitely writing on a poster board. I hope those days are over. I think that they may be.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
So by my sophomore year of high school, I reached my full height. I'm 5'6", and I weighed 220. And one of my teachers had lost over 100 pounds on Optifast, and that's the medically supervised diet. So, of course, that's safe, right? and my oldest sister had started doing it. And so I was 16, and I decided to try it as well. I started in the summer when I was doing driver's ed classes. And I was super disciplined. In 5 months, I lost 80 pounds.
Wow. That's a lot of weight in a short time.
Yeah. I also royally screwed up my metabolism. But I was back down to my fourth grade weight. I was 140 at 16.
Wow.
So here's a spoiler alert. I was working at Kentucky Fried Chicken during that time. And I came off of Optifast the day before Thanksgiving. So if you want to guess how that worked out for me.
How fast that weight came back on, right?
Yeah. So 2 years later, when I started college, I weighed 190. And that was that November of 1988 is when Oprah wheeled her wagon of fat on stage.
I remember that.
And she talked about how she lost 67 pounds. And I felt so bad for her because I knew she was going to gain it back because I had.
Right.
So when I graduated college, I was in the 220s. And then I got a master's degree and I reached my all-time high, which was 265.
And, you know, I hear the pain in your voice because it's just so hard to think about how hard you tried, right? And that younger you and how hard you were trying and just it was yo-yoing. And it was just because you had bad advice and you didn't know any better. And I would like to give you a hug. I'm hugging you right now.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, after that, I would lose quite a bit of weight and then gain it back. So I tried Jenny Craig. I got down to about 185 and started creeping up again. I met my husband around that time. We dated for 3 years. My weight fluctuated up and down. We got married in 2000 and I was about 200 pounds at that point. And also, I know it's too late for everyone else, but I highly recommend getting married in the year 2000 because it helps with the math. We've been married 23 years.
Oh, that is easy. You're right.
You're right. Yeah, I just have to know what year it is and then I'm good.
Yeah.
So I was born in 1970, which also helps with the math. So I'm 53.
See, I was born in 69, so I have to think and then subtract add. I have to add.
Yeah. I think we're just a year apart.
We are. Chad was born in 1970. I'm the older woman.
We never had kids, so I can't blame my weight on them. Not that I would. But here's a funny thing. In college, I knew someone who said she gained a lot of weight in high school because every time she had sex, she thought she was pregnant. So she ate to feed the baby.
Oh my gosh. Now I've never heard that one before.
So I couldn't have used that excuse, but I didn't.
Oh gosh. Oh, she had some bad information.
She did. Yeah. She really did. So I just kind of gave up for a while.
Yeah, I get that.
It was so hard. And by my late 30s, I was up to my all-time high again. I was 265 again. And I lost 75 pounds on a Kaiser insurance program where we met in person weekly. We had nutrition education. We did weekly weigh-ins. And, you know, then it went back up. There was a three-year period of time from 2009 to 2012, where I had several deaths in my family. My father-in-law died in 2009 from cancer.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And then we lost my oldest sister unexpectedly a month later. She had a stroke and she was 55.
Oh, gosh.
And then my father died in 2010 and my mom in 2012.
Wow.
So
that was a lot in a very short time.
It was, but I mean, it really made me think about mortality and health and all of that. And so during 2009, 2010, I had a goal of just getting in shape and I was going to run the Portland Half Marathon. So I got down to 185 and I was doing these boot camp classes and I was running like 6 or 8 miles every other day. And I think we all know that, you know, you can exercise all you want and it doesn't necessarily help your weight.
So were you doing all that, the boot camps and the running all those miles because you wanted to lose weight or did you like doing them?
I like doing them and I wanted to be healthy and strong.
Right.
I figured my weight was kind of a lost cause. I didn't want to go higher, but I wasn't sure how to stop it.
Right.
And I did finish the half marathon in October of 2010. It was pouring down rain that day. I think I ran the first 5 miles and then I walked the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did finish it and I did not come in last.
That's awesome. Congratulations there.
I like to say, you know, thousands of people passed me, but hundreds did not. So I was not last.
Awesome. How far is a half marathon? Is a marathon 26?
Yeah, marathon's 26. So
a half would be 13. I was trying to think if I ever walked that many miles in a day. There was like one time when I was in San Francisco walking around like crazy. I think I walked 12 miles just because we walked so much. It was years ago, like 2015 or something. But so I've never done it. I just wondered.
Yeah, it's far. It's pretty far.
A long way. Yeah.
I don't think I'll do it again.
No.
But it was a good experience.
It's something to be proud of.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, after that, my weight just crept up again and I would fluctuate up and down. In 2014, I was about 245 and I just wanted to get healthy. I gave up sugar, flour, processed foods. I actually got down to 180 and it was the lowest I'd ever been as an adult. I was wearing a size 10 or 12, but I had excess skin. I had that issue from all the ups and downs. And so I decided to have some of that removed. And, you know, I was kind of thinking at the time, if I could just tighten things up, I'd just be happy. And I would stay at a size 10 forever because I'd be so happy.
Right.
And so, you know, spoiler alert, I'm here now after finding intermittent fasting a few years ago. So that didn't happen.
Right. We all think, well, we get there. We've worked so hard. We're like, this is the last time. And darn it. It wasn't all those years. So you had the skin removed, the excess skin at that time. Mm-hmm. But did not stay at that size.
I'm really glad I did because it did make me feel a lot more confident and a lot more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I was still pretty active, but I just wasn't eating that great. I had a lot of work stress at the time. I used food to soothe it. So it just, you know, started coming back. I also tried hypnosis. I can't remember. Did you?
Yes. Now, did you do like the I guess it was like, I was going to say CDs. I think I started with CDs, hypnosis CDs. I didn't do anybody in person. What did you do?
They had people who actually would record a session with me. So I was in the room with the hypnotherapist.
Okay.
And they would record it and then they would give it to me on a thumb drive or whatever. And the problem was that the hypnotherapist that I got, he sounded so much like this very funny guy I'd gone to college with, and I couldn't take it seriously. I would start laughing in the middle of it. And I think my mantra was, this is stupid, this won't work. This is stupid, this won't work.
Probably not the best mantra to be playing.
Yeah.
No, I tried really the hypnosis. Work. I did CDs. I remember I bought a book that has CD in the back. This is before iPods, right, or iPhones or any of that. And I can remember laying there trying to do my hypnosis because I was like, this is the thing. I had that feeling that it was something in my mind, right? But no.
Yeah.
Been there. Yeah.
Green Chef is the number one meal kit for clean eating, delivering pre-portioned and prepped quality whole foods with limited processed ingredients. Green Chef sends organic, fresh produce, responsibly sourced proteins, and chef-designed recipes in every box for satisfying, nourishing, and convenient meals that fit in beautifully to my cleanish lifestyle, and the food is totally window-worthy. Tonight, we're having barbecue sweet potato tacos with cabbage and carrot slaw, black beans, corn, and cheesy tortillas, and they come with Green Chef's chimichurri sauce. So good. Go to greenchef.com/ifstories50 and use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. That's greenchef.com/ifstories50. And don't forget to use the promo code ifstories50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next 2 months. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
So that didn't work. I spent, you know, some money on that. That's the other thing. If you think you spend money on something, it's got to work.
Yes.
It doesn't.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. So April of 2019, I was back up to about 230. And I have a story for you. We have a cabin near Mount Hood. And I'd gone up there, just me and our dogs. And my husband was coming up later. And so I took the dogs down to the river. And one of them went in and he got swept away into the middle of the river.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I tell this story a lot and people think that I just jumped in to save him. And, well, you know, I hesitated. It was really cold.
Oh, gosh.
It was really cold. The current was really fast. I hesitated. But then I did go in after him. We ended up getting swept downriver. And I managed to get us both out of the river.
Wow.
But I thought how easily, like, we could have died doing that. When I got back to the cabin, I called my husband and I told him about it. And I said, you know, could you, when you come up, can you just bring me a Reese's Cup Blizzard?
Oh, yeah.
Like a large, please.
Three of them. I know. Yeah. Your brain was probably like, I can't even imagine that. That is so fortunate that you saved your dog and that you saved yourself, because that's like the kind of thing you hear, like, woman in Hilton Head trying to save dog from alligator gets killed by alligator. Exactly. You know, we will do anything to save our beloved pets. You know, that's, I'm glad you're both safe.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah. And he's still with us. He's 12 now.
That's awesome.
So he was 8 at the time.
Does he stay away from the river?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Dogs are like toddlers, right?
They are.
I'm a cat person, if you didn't know.
I have one cat, three dogs. So I'm becoming a cat person, I guess.
Cats are great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad. But so you were, that was a very stressful day, very like a traumatic experience, but I'm glad it worked out all right.
It was. But so he brought me the Blizzard and I, you know, filled him in on the whole story while I ate it. And then when I was done telling him, and he just really realized that we could have actually died.
Right.
His comment was, oh, wow. Well, it's a good thing you're sturdy.
Buoyant? Yes, did he mean married. Buoyant? I don't know, right?
He meant that if I'd been like a delicate little thing, I would have gotten swept away and survived. So he was being factual, not mean.
He was trying to look on the bright side. Yeah.
He's always been super supportive, no matter what my weight.
That's so important.
Yeah. But I was just so tired of being heavy. Right. And I still couldn't lose weight. So by early 2020, I was up to like 245. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I started working from home. I didn't have that commute anymore. I started eating more healthfully. I was gradually losing weight. And I thought I was onto something. By that fall, I was down to about 25 pounds. And then, of course, I got the news flash that the pandemic was being renewed for a second season.
That's a good way of putting it. We're like, it's over. No.
No. No. And then I thought, well, we're all going to die.
Right.
And then I remembered, oh, gosh, I really like bacon and ice cream and potato chips.
I mean, if we're all going to die, we might as well eat. That's the thing, exactly. Right? When you're feeling that stress and you're like, why? Why am I? Yeah.
Yeah. So I that's where I kind of gave up again. Mm-hmm. I invested in like 5 pairs of very forgiving size 16W jeans, some nice stretchy tops with like flattering necklines. And I just hunkered down, you know, with my comfort food. And things were fine until December 21. I went to dinner with friends and then I had a trip to visit my family in Ohio. And there were some photographs taken. And you know how that is.
I do.
I did not look well in those photos. I was bloated. I was so uncomfortable. You could see just how miserable I was. So I went to the doctor's on December 21st of that year. I was just right below 250. And of course, I had also amassed this array of ailments.
Yeah.
So even though I'd always been overweight, I'd been pretty active and, you know, somewhat healthy. But now, by then, I had developed high blood pressure. I was pre-diabetic. I had sciatica. I had leg cramps. I had this strange, like, joint swelling in my fingers. I had sleep apnea. I had brain fog, migraines, and toenail fungus.
Oh, gosh. So,
just to top it off, I was a mess. I was a mess.
That was a lot. Yep. You were not doing well. And your doctors, what did your doctors say?
Well, you know, they thought I should lose some weight
and
possibly go on metformin since I was pre-diabetic. And I said, well, let me think about that. My husband is diabetic and he had been on metformin and glipizide and they wanted him to start doing insulin injections. And so I just didn't really want to go down that path. Also, I had, I started my career in public service pretty young. And so I plan to retire when I'm 55. And I was 51 at that time. So my sister, who I mentioned previously, she had been overweight and diabetic, and she had died at 55.
Wow. And so that was probably a huge wake-up call to think about that, to think, you know, because you see in your family, you know, seeing what could be for you. Yeah. And you're almost there, right? You're at that age, you were 51, you were looking ahead and thinking, wow.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wanted my new life to start at 55.
Right.
So I just decided that day I was going to give myself, you know, like the gift of good health.
Right.
So I could enjoy my retirement, which I've worked really hard for. So I went back to what had worked for me before, cutting out sugar and flour and processed food. I decided I would just stop eating by like 6 o'clock. I wasn't hungry the next day. I'd eat around 9. So I had that 9-hour eating window, which I was oblivious to.
Right. It just worked out.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. When you stopped the sugar, the flour, and the processed food, were you following like a specific dietary plan, like the one that Bright Line Eating is one that I know of? Okay. You just felt like those were the foods that didn't work for you. Okay.
Yeah. I just really felt like there's so much in processed food that we don't even know what it is.
That is true.
And how it affects us. And I would eat things I didn't even like and find myself finishing things off just to be eating.
Yeah.
But if I thought about it, I didn't even like the taste of it. So I knew that those had to go.
Yeah.
So by March of 2022, I was down about 20 pounds, but my A1C had gone up a little. And, you know, the doctor was again talking about metformin. But they had this program through Kaiser that was called Omada. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I have not.
And they give you a scale, and then you have this app where you have to weigh in every day, track your meals and your activity, and you have an online health coach. So I am a very good rule follower.
Yeah, me too.
Remember OptiFast.
Right.
Like where I didn't eat for 5 months.
I can't even imagine. I never did anything like that. I don't know. I got to have food. I don't do well with replacements.
No, no, I still have nightmares. The OptiFast was like packets of vanilla and strawberry powder.
Gross.
They wanted me to mix it with milk, I think because I was so young, to get like extra protein, but I didn't like milk.
Oh.
And so I mixed it with Diet Blackberry Faygo.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so terrible.
It's so disgusting. Yeah.
What in the world was that doing to like your insulin and your blood sugar? Lord only knows. Your body was like, what?
I cannot imagine. No. I can't.
But you got it from a doctor, so it must be okay.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So you were using that Omada app or the Omada program? Omada.
And I thought I'm just going to do the basics. I'm going to track my meals, weigh myself, meet my step goal every day. And I did that. And I started taking yoga classes. And so by July of 22, I was down to about 190. And I still had a ways to go, but it was, you know, one of the lowest weights I'd seen in a very long time. And I started getting scared that I was going to gain it back.
Right.
You know, I'd seen that movie before. I didn't like the ending the first 10 times.
Right.
That's what I was afraid of. And so I went online and I Googled something like how to not regain weight or how to sustain weight loss after 50. And Jen Stevens' smiling face popped up.
Hooray, whatever algorithm or search, whatever.
Yeah, you were like the poster child for IF.
Well, thank you. Well, that's you just never know. Like, people are always talking about, I'm in this group of health and wellness professionals that are always talking about search engine optimization. I'm like, I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, how do you optimize? I'm like, I don't know what, but I'm glad to hear that it came up.
So I was a little skeptical and I apologize. I actually thought, what's she so happy about? Why is she smiling? And I thought, intermittent fasting, I'm, you know, ugh. I thought I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, I don't want to track my food forever and my activity and everything for the rest of my life. But, you know, I lost about 60 pounds. And even if I didn't lose any more, I was doing pretty good. But then I started thinking, like, what else might negatively impact my health mm-hmm. as I age? And so I Googled how to cure diabetes. And the answer was intermittent fasting.
There you go. All roads leading to intermittent fasting.
Then I Googled how to prevent Alzheimer's. Intermittent fasting.
Right.
How to not get cancer. Same thing. And so uh-huh. then I did one more search, how to live longer. And the answer was intermittent fasting. And I thought, is my Google broken?
Thank you, Google.
It was like that wacky choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
Like you said, all paths lead to IF.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe Jen Stevens is on to something. And at that time, you'd been doing it for over 7 years.
Right.
And obviously it was working for you.
Yeah, this is my 10th holiday season. Mm-hmm. I keep saying that. People probably heard me say that 100 times now, but I'm so proud of that.
Yeah.
And it's not stressful. Like, so for anybody who's brand new and you're wondering about that, you eventually just like don't even, you're just like, it's not a big deal at all. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like plan longer, fast, and whatever. You just like live anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in July of 2022, that was when I officially came to intermittent fasting. I got Delay, Don't Deny on Kindle. I got Fast, Feast, Repeat on audio. I read it on Kindle one weekend at the cabin, and I listened to the Fast, Feast, Repeat while I was hiking. And I just immediately started doing 18.6, and then that awesome. Became 19.5. The weight started moving again. I was, by early September, I was down to about 175.
Wow. Now that's the smallest number you've said. I've been listening. You said all the numbers. And other than the fourth grade 140 that you got to again with OptiFast, but okay. Yeah. So 175, you said by September?
By September of 22. Mm-hmm. And then I got COVID.
Oh.
And I was kind of stuck in the 170s for mm-hmm. a while. But then when I recovered, I started doing alternate daily fasting. And by about mid-November, I was down to 165. And I stayed within a pound of 165 for a long time. And then from about the end of December last year to March of this year, I was just maintaining between 160 mm-hmm. and 165. And I just really felt fabulous. Yeah. And you know, I did have that 140 number in mind mm-hmm. because it got planted there in the fourth grade and when I was 16. But I did feel really good at about, you know, between 160 and 165. And I was actually wearing a size 6 jeans. So I was in pretty good shape. But then my weight started creeping back up. And I had also like officially hit menopause.
Okay, I was waiting for that one.
Yeah. So by September
menopause
23, I had made it a year without a period.
Okay.
But I didn't make it a year without COVID. I got COVID again in September of this year. And so, COVID is a game changer. And
it is.
Does things to you that I don't know how it works, but it's not good.
No.
And, also, my thyroid had been creeping up, and you know, I was trying to get my doctor to pay attention to that. I actually got some testing on my own because the doctor didn't think I needed it. So I went to an independent lab and just paid for it, and then I went back to my doctor and said, "Yeah, you know, something's off there." Mm-hmm. I was having a smaller window on a lot of days, like 20 and 4 or 22.2, and I was doing some ADF with the up days afterward, but I could not lose weight, and I was continuing to go up. And
that's a very common menopause story. Mm-hmm. Have you looked into hormone replacement therapy at all yet? Have you gone down that path?
I have considered that a little. I think I need a naturopathic doctor because, you know, the normal doctors, kind of dismiss that. Since I don't have hot flashes, I don't have very serious menopause symptoms at all, they say I'm fine.
Now, I just listened to a podcast this week, and I can't remember the lady's name. She's the author of something called The Galveston Diet, which I have not read. but she was on Diary of a CEO. And I listened to it. I can't remember her name. It's like Mary, I don't know, two part, Mary Ann, Mary something. I don't know, but y'all, you can look up Galveston Diet and then try to find her on Diary of a CEO. But she talks about women and hormones and menopause and what a crime it is for what's happening to women. It is such a powerful podcast episode. So any woman who is pre-peri, post-menopausal, who's getting the runaround, you got to listen to this episode. And like I said, it's Diary of a CEO. It's with the author of The Galveston Diet. Like I said, I haven't read her diet. She likes fasting, although she did say in that episode that fasting doesn't lead to weight loss. I'm like, well, but she also likes 16-8. So that makes a little, you know, if you're doing 16-8, you might not see fat loss from that. So that makes a little bit more sense. But she does think that people should do it. But all the stuff that changes in our bodies after menopause are because of the hormones. Like, she really unpacks it. Do you remember when I talked about my shoulder hurting?
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to figure out what it was. Probably menopause. It was before I went on hormone replacement therapy. She said frozen shoulder is really, really common.
Oh, interesting. You had thought it was something related to water.
Well, maybe. I didn't know. I'm like, what changed? Yeah. What changed? I'm like looking at everything. I did, but I started filtering my water and things started getting better. But I also started hormone replacement therapy in there. Like, I never in a million years thought it could be related to hormones. So the shoulder pain's completely gone, but like there's apparently some sort of adhesions that you get and it has to do with hormones. So, you know, I'm not a hormone expert, but I've listened to a lot of them now who are saying very similar things. And she talks about how she, you know, she was, I think she's an OBGYN and how she didn't even know anything about it till she went through it herself. And then suddenly she's like, oops, I'm so sorry, everybody. So don't discount menopause. Yeah. That's my advice to everybody.
Definitely had an impact, you know, along with the thyroid situation. And, you know, I don't know if I may have been overdoing it a little bit on the fasting. I never felt bad, you know, physically, but I was doing, you know, some ADF and some days I would only have a 2-hour window. But I had also, you know, had COVID in September of this year. And then, believe it or not, I got COVID again in October of this year.
Gosh. She had COVID in September of 2023 and then again in October of 2023.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we went to Canada and I came back with Canadian COVID. I don't know if it's different, but I would not recommend it.
No, there's definitely something that goes on in some people's bodies post-COVID, because we've also heard that story. People who were maintaining for a long time and then they had COVID and then their weight goes up. So, you know, one thought is perhaps it's doing something to your gut microbiome, damaging there, or it's causing some sort of insulin resistant. I don't know what the mechanism is, but there's definitely something. So the 1-2 whammy of COVID, well, 1-2-3, COVID, and menopause, and that's a lot to go through.
Yeah. So COVID also had an impact on my heart. I started having chest pains, a lot of chest pains. And so I have some heart issues because of calcification, which I don't have high cholesterol. And, you know, I am thinking that that could be related to all the COVID because it does attack the heart.
Right.
So, you know, the good news is I wore a Nutrisense continuous glucose monitor from early November to early December, and my blood sugar is excellent.
Well, that's good.
I also had a fasting insulin done a few months ago and it was 5.
Okay.
And then they tested my A1C recently and it was 5.4. So I've really just been trying to be a little bit more gentle with myself. I have a longer window now of about 6 hours. I start a little bit earlier, like around 10 or 11, and end about 3 or 4. My weight has actually started coming back down again.
Oh, good.
So I had gotten back up to 185 and now I'm currently at 180.
Okay.
I felt really good, you know, between 160 and 165. So I'm hoping to get back down to that. I'm limping toward the finish line of 2023, I feel like.
Right.
But 2024 is going to be a good year. And so
hoping no more COVID. No more.
Yeah, I'm hoping to post a nice update when this episode airs. Mm-hmm. I am in the community.
Yeah.
I haven't been very active, but I hope to be more active in the community and then also post an update in March when this airs.
Yeah. Well, wow. Your body has been through a lot. And I think that the fact that you're calmly giving yourself grace through all this, because the body prioritizes healing over, you know, a number on a scale, right? And weight loss. So when you're recovering from all that inflammation from the COVID, your body's like probably retaining a lot of fluid as well through that whole process. But yeah, definitely see what you can figure out as far as finding a doctor for your hormones, because I really think that that is essential information. I'm not going to stop talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
As, you know, hearing the people who are truly experts and how emphatic they are about it, you know, really says a lot to me. And like I said, I'm not a hormone expert. I'm just a woman who went out of town this weekend and forgot to take my progesterone and didn't sleep. So,
oh no.
Yeah. So it definitely, it makes a huge difference. How's your sleep? Are you sleeping?
My sleep is pretty good. Generally, you know, all of my conditions had cleared up, basically. No more sleep apnea, no more migraines. The sciatica went away. You know, toenails take a long time to heal, but it's getting there.
Good.
I had also injured it when I was in the river with the dog.
Oh, gosh.
So it's grown out a few times. But I'm just confused how, like, a human body can grow a whole baby in 9 months, but a toenail can take years.
I had a weird fingernail, and it looks great right now, but I smashed it in the shower door in San Francisco at the end of August, and it finally, it had like a little bruise that I watched grow out. It's finally gone, but it was like, looked like a bloody bruise on my, I don't wear nail polish, so there it was.
I did just get a Juve Go, red light therapy.
Yep.
And so I've been using that. And I think that might be helping with the toenail situation.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Yeah, but pretty much all of my health issues had cleared up. I mean, I think without intermittent fasting, definitely the COVID would have been worse, I believe. You know, I credit intermittent fasting for so much. I've basically maintained a 70-pound weight loss.
That's
even though
amazing.
A little bit back. Yeah.
Like, that is not to be discounted. 70-pound weight loss, maintaining that. That's definitely something to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been, you know, kind of a wild ride, but this is the answer for me. And I would never not do intermittent fasting.
Yeah. I mean, you were on the road to being diabetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so now what does your doctor say about that?
Yeah, I'm completely not even close to being diabetic at this point. My blood sugar with NutriSense, when I was monitoring it, they give you a range of like 70 to 140. And I went below 70 a couple times, which is kind of okay. You're sleeping and it goes down into the 60s. But I never went over 135.
That's amazing.
And
wow.
I was usually at about 100 to 105.
Wow.
Even after eating, it would only go up to maybe 115.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Wow. So you know, even, you know, worst case scenario, if your weight got stuck where it is right now, you never lost another pound. Intermittent fasting has changed your health trajectory big time.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. So, you mentioned that you stopped with the sugar and the flour and the processed foods for a time. Mm-hmm. Are you still eating that way, or how's your eating changed now?
I am basically still eating just whole foods. Mm-hmm. I really try to avoid processed food. Sometimes when I go on vacation or go visit family or go out to eat, then I will eat something that I don't normally eat. And previously, like, you know, shortly after I started IF, if I did that, it would kind of make me sick. You know, I just wouldn't feel well after I ate something that was highly processed. And this last time, because I was in Ohio, you know, just a month ago, and I did have some potato chips. And normally that would make me kind of sick. But it's almost like my body has just become super efficient at getting rid of stuff you don't need.
Right.
So it just cleared it out. And I thought, okay, I don't need to do that again. But I didn't get sick from it. But I don't crave it either.
Well, that's good.
Amazing.
You cleared out all the cravings. That's really, I think, one of the most important things is to not be missing it. Like, you're not missing having those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best of all. So you mentioned that now you're doing kind of like an 18-6, and that's feeling good.
Yeah, I usually have a 5 or 6 hour window, and I'm not snacking much in between. So I'll have a meal around 10 or 11 in the morning, and then I'll wait until about 3 or 4 in the afternoon and have a second meal.
Yeah. And so that you go to bed and you feel great. You don't have time to get hungry again.
Yeah, I might get a little bit hungry right when I go to bed, but I'm going to sleep. So
it's fine. Yeah. You got it just late enough that it's not going to keep you awake. Yeah, I don't do well sleeping hungry. So that's why I do better with my, I usually close around 7. So that works well for me. And then I go to bed around 9 and then I sleep well. But if I'm too early in the day, I can't sleep. But if as long as you're sleeping and you're not hungry, that seems like a great approach. So you mentioned that you feel like there might have been a time when you were a little bit restricting too much.
I think possibly. I was doing ADF, usually just the mealless Mondays.
Right. And what did you do the day after
the mealless day? It was hard for me to eat the next day because I wasn't hungry, but I know that the next day is an up day. And so I would, you know, try to open as early as I could and eat. And then all of a sudden I was hungry and then I would kind of eat too much.
Okay.
So I think I struggled with ADF for that reason. I felt fabulous the day that I was not eating, and I wouldn't have the 500 calorie meal. I would just,
you did the full fast.
Yeah. But then the next day, like I said, it was hard to start eating, but once I did, I would overdo it a little bit.
The up day is the hardest part, which is just so bizarre for people who are like, no, the fast sounds hard. I would like to eat all day. But the up day seems to be the challenge. When would you start eating on the up day?
At that time, when I had a smaller window, my normal window was about 12 to 4 or 2 to 4. And so if I did an ADF day, then the next day I would try to start at about 10 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah. And eat until 6 p.m. just to have the bigger window.
That might have been, you might have needed to start at like 8 a.m. Honestly, that might have been the ticket there, because, you know, when you're fasting, especially when you do the full fast like you were doing instead of the 500 calorie down day, you're just cruising along and fat burning. And so sometimes people will say, well, you know, I want to wait till I'm hungry to eat. That might be never, because your body is like fat adapted and feeling good. So you have to, you know, wake up your appetite by starting to eat early. So anybody who's struggling with ADF, open earlier than you think. Start with something in the morning early, and then, you know, maybe have breakfast, then don't snack, then lunch, then dinner. Something like that might be a better approach. But err on the side of longer rather than shorter on the up day.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
If you ever want to experiment with that again, Tanya. And you might want to at some point, you think?
Yeah, I might.
Yeah, and just see how that goes.
A daily window is working, I think, best for me.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's, I've eaten every day since, 2016, so. I like to eat every day. You could also try, did you ever try the 500 calorie down day?
I did that once or twice.
Okay.
And you can make a really good meal out of 500.
Yeah, you can. You can really satisfy yourself with bulky, you know, a high fiber plant foods and put some protein in there, maybe some meat, whatever satisfies you. Yeah. But you didn't like the 500 calorie meal.
It was okay. I think I just felt better not having anything.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's there. It's an option. You can use it if it helps you. And if not, then do it the other way. It's really what feels best for you. So do you talk about intermittent fasting in your daily life?
I do. Actually, my husband started doing IF a few months after I did. He saw how great I was feeling. He lost about 20 pounds and he was already on insulin at the time, but he was able to reduce his insulin. So he's maintained that. He has about a 7-hour window from about noon to 7 or so. And at work, I work from home, but people notice on the, you know, the video calls. And so I've talked with people at work and I do have a coworker who is awesome. And she didn't know I was doing it, but she started doing it on her own. And awesome. So she and I talk a lot. She's super supportive. She didn't have much weight to lose, but she found a lot of relief from, she used to get sinus infections frequently and some menopause symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so she, you know, with IF, she had a lot of success with that. I will tell anyone who asks, but, you know, unfortunately some people have asked and they've kind of tried it, but they feel like it didn't work for them or they didn't like it. And, you know, I recommend the books. I recommend the podcast. I really try to be encouraging, but I know what a struggle it is. And, you know, one example of that is Oprah. She just recently talked about being on the weight loss drugs.
Yeah. I saw an article where she was talking about that.
So, you know, my dream would be for her to get locked in a, you know, trapped in an elevator with all your books.
I have, all, just like you, we grew up the same time. We watched Oprah when we got home from school, right?
Yeah.
We watched Oprah and we loved Oprah and we want to see Oprah doing well. And, you know, it was actually sad to hear Oprah talk about her weight struggles because I can't imagine doing all that in the public eye. See, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. The public eye is brutal. So she talks about how in the article that I read about her talking about the weight loss drugs, I mean, she has been in the public eye every time she gained weight or lost weight. It was like discussion fodder for the world. And just I can't imagine, you know, being in that spotlight with something so personal as your weight struggle. So yeah, I would love to, you know, help Oprah with that. I mean, maybe she's tried intermittent fasting, but maybe she wasn't fasting clean. Maybe she, you know, advice, what difference could it make? You know, I would love to do that.
Maybe like me with her experience with OptiFast, when you hear fast and you think about those powdered packets, I mean, you just have this association.
But I would have a hard time thinking that she hadn't at least tried intermittent fasting. But I do wonder if she tried it with the clean fast, because you and I know that's where the real transformation happens is with the clean fast. So, you know, if she got the advice of the, you know, having these whatever, you know, this doesn't break the fast, that doesn't break the fast, then yeah. But anyway, I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Oprah and would love to. But, you know, maybe she's just tired, like you and I. When we had the periods of time and we gave up, we're like, forget it. I can't do this anymore. So I understand.
I mean, she's found something, I guess, that works for her, but she's going to be taking those injections probably for, you know, she has to keep taking them in order to maintain. And, you know, after finding IF, I just feel like it's my solution. And it's free and you're not putting things like that into your body.
Yep. I will say though, if I were still struggling, if I had not found intermittent fasting, had not lost the weight and now maintained it, I would be all over those drugs. I mean, I know myself, you know, so I don't fault anybody for feeling desperate enough to try them, because it would have been me. I would have done it. I would have been wherever you had to go to get them, I'd have been getting there.
I think I might have too, if not for the side effect of stomach paralysis.
Yeah, that's scary.
That might have been enough to.
I don't to know. Scare me I off. Mean, I would have been like, sign me up. I feel like. I mean, so I'm not making light of that because I know how desperate I was, and it seemed like, you know, it would have seemed like such an answer to me. I mean, look, I watched The Biggest Loser. Sad that I wasn't big enough to go on it.
Me too.
And I thought about gaining more weight so I could qualify. I mean, what in the world twisted thinking is that? If I gain more weight, I'm a teacher. They would probably like to have a teacher on there. No, but that's how my mind was working back then. So moment of silence for everybody and all of our thinking that we've had of our toxic diet thoughts.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm glad that your husband is doing it and that that's impacted his health better mm-hmm. as well, because that's huge, knowing that you're doing it together.
Yeah.
Do y'all eat at the same time?
We really don't. And we kind of cook separately. And, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we do, but we mostly just do our own thing. And it's pretty easy that way because we're on our own schedules. We both work from home.
Okay.
And so we're not stepping all over each other when we go to get food. So it just works for us. I know for some people it's hard because you're having dinner with family or you're having to cook for other people. So I don't have that struggle.
Yeah. Well, that makes it easier that you're not having to work with food. Like Chad takes care of himself until dinner time. Until I put the dinner on the table every night, he just meanders around. Like he does his whatever at 11 o'clock. He eats some stuff, whatever it is. And then he closes his window till 5 and then he has a little snack. It's not really closing your window. I'm making a joke mm-hmm. there, but does his Chad fast. And then we have dinner together. But he's really great about, you know, figuring out what to eat. And I don't have to fix it for him till dinner time. But we enjoy sitting down and having dinner together. But, you know, if we didn't, that would be okay too. So you mentioned that there was a period of time when you were running the half marathon and doing all the boot mm-hmm. camps. What sort of exercise do you do these days? Anything at all or what?
I do a lot of walking. We have 3 dogs and I usually walk them multiple times a day. And before I had all the COVID, I was doing a lot of hiking and I had so much energy after starting intermittent fasting. I could do, you know, we'd go up to the cabin and I would do a 9-mile hike up the mountain, down the mountain.
Yeah.
And then I would, you know, get all these chores done at, you know, laundry and sweeping the decks and, you know, some woodworking projects. I would just had tons of energy. And then that afternoon I'd want to go for another walk. And so I had a lot of energy. And then, like I said, COVID is a game changer.
Yep.
A lot of fatigue going on there, but I do still walk quite a bit every day. I do yoga. And recently we have a workout room in our house with a lot of equipment and I use the treadmill sometimes, but we've got a rower, we've got a bicycle, we've got a weight bench. I use that a little bit, but it just seemed like too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Like you have to plan it and get in the room that is right down the hall from me. So how could I possibly manage that?
Have you ever heard me talk about the house that we bought in Augusta that came with an entire weight studio down? All the like this fancy brand. I can't remember the brand name now, but it was like really expensive. And she had people. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be in so much shape. No, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
We had like literally like gym quality equipment. The whole basement was full of it and I didn't even do it. So
I think you said it was Nautilus.
Yeah, it was Nautilus. I couldn't think of it. Okay. It was Nautilus. That's
My husband works for Nautilus. Well, they just changed their name. They changed their name to Bowflex.
Oh.
He's an app developer. Okay. And so he's gotten some equipment from there. So it is equipment.
It's not cheap. I'm like, this is amazing. I mean, it had literally all the stuff you'd see like at the health club. We had all those different stations and I still mm-hmm. didn't do it. I jumped on my trampoline, my little rebounder right before we talked though. So I'll do that.
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting a vibration plate. You talk about it a lot.
Yeah. I really, you know, and I've seen a study where there are many things that it's good for that. But one of them is, you know, osteoporosis, like it mm-hmm. helps with bone density. So that's one reason that I like to use it.
Yeah.
You know, thinking, because you know, as we're getting older, whatever we can do.
Yeah. So I know that weight training is really important, especially at my age. And mm-hmm. I had tried resistance bands, but I'm not super coordinated. And and I just, you know, I just didn't. But I recently got this very interesting thing. It's a Pilates bar with resistance bands on it.
Oh.
So it's just a bar, like a long bar with 2 bands. And then you can do resistance training with that. You know, you step your feet through the bands and then you use the bar to lift. And you can do all kinds of exercises with that. It's portable. I've taken it with me on vacation and, I mean, it was like $20.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. So, anything we can do, you know, now I'm paying attention and really understanding that we need to have muscle mass. We need to build muscle mm-hmm. as we age because that's going to help us age better. Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, I think what I wish I knew was that food makes me hungry.
Yeah.
So I was always afraid of being hungry when I was trying to lose weight. But when I'm fasting, I don't get hungry until I start eating.
Right.
And so hunger is really not an issue with the fasting. You have a smaller window where you're eating, but you eat, you're satisfied. You don't eat, you're not actually very hungry.
Well, I mean, they do call them appetizers, right? Mm-hmm. You're supposed to eat it to wake up your appetite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a South Park episode that talked about appetizers. They said it's what you eat before you eat to make right? you hungry.
It's true.
So I also wish I had known that some foods, and I put foods in quotes, they're designed to make you hungry
yeah.
and spike your cravings and make you overeat. Refined processed foods are not actually food.
No.
So, you know, don't eat those and you feel a lot better. So what I tell somebody just starting out is I think you will learn so much about your body that you will just be in awe of what your body can do. Your body wants to be healthy and heal itself, and it has an amazing capacity to do that if given the opportunity. So I think intermittent fasting will change your body, your life, your relationship with food, and your relationship with yourself and your appreciation of yourself.
Well said. That is also true. Well, Tanya, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you. It's been great.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's jen@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on. Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.